God, on the day we celebrate our nation's birth, we place our faith in you. You are the one who gives us freedom. You have endowed us with inalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And may we pursue you with the passion that you first pursued us. As we celebrate our great nation, we remember the sacrifice and turmoil that this country was born out of and that continues to shape us today. We know that you are not done here. We know that we are far from perfect, and we know that you have a plan. We pause to remember that you are our God, and we are the people of your pasture. Help our country turn toward you. Bring revival to this nation. Give our leaders clear vision and sober minds. Bring peace and justice to our schools and unite us all as brothers and sisters. God, we ask that your kingdom would come and come quickly. May peace and prosperity come to your children living in the land of the free and the home of the brave. Amen.
We're looking at Galatians chapter 5 today, if you guys want to turn there, and we will go through that. I'm going to ask for somebody to be a reader because I've still got the cough thing going on, and to save my voice a little bit. So it'll be on the screen, and all you have to do is stand here and read the screen. So who's going to do that for us? Somebody with a nice loud voice. All right. So our 1,800-mile journey, I'm calling it the journey of chicken butt. The reason it's the journey of chicken butt is because Colton is 2.5 years old, and his speech is kind of tough to figure out. But he is continuously, like if you're driving for 6 hours, you hear it 4 times a minute, and it sounds like, "It's up," which means, "Guess what?" And you say, "What?" And he said, "Chicken butt." And that happened 1.2 million times. It happened so much that when I was traveling home after a little session of ugly crying, when I said goodbye to them and left them on their front step, of course, with their mother, Kristen, having to document it, because she documents everything, and I'm sure you're going to see it on her Instagram, this wonderful picture of Nana and Grandpa and the 3 kids. The rest of them are all, I look like the farmer in that old painting with the pitchfork. Because I'm just trying to hold it together. The journey of chicken butt went very well. We got down to their house. The pot arrived on time. And Nana and my job was to keep the kids out of everybody's hair while everything was unloaded and things started to get set up. Heat index there every day was at least 110 degrees. And so since I choose to live in a walrus suit, that's very warm. It's very warm for we walruses. You skinny people, you do not understand how hot that is. Boy. So, but we had a great time with the kids, and then as we headed back on Saturday, that was a whole other thing. I'll tell you about it sometime. I don't know how that'll ever come into a sermon illustration of what we experienced. Some of you saw on my Facebook just a little glimpse of, well, let's just tell you, we are going to get vouchers out of this, this trip back that we had with a little doggy in our row. So I need somebody to come on up here who's going to read through for everybody on, how about Dave? You got a nice voice. It's mic number one, Ed. Dave has a good voice to help us read along with this, and it'll save my voice. So.
So Christ has truly set us free. Now make sure that you stay free and don't get tied up again in slavery to the law. Listen, I, Paul, tell you this, if you are counting on circumcision to make you right with God, then Christ will be of no benefit to you. I'll say it again. If you are trying to find favor with God by being circumcised, you must obey every regulation of the whole in the whole law of Moses. For if you are trying to make yourselves right with God by keeping the law, you have been cut off from Christ. You have fallen away from God's grace. But we who live by the Spirit eagerly wait to receive by faith the righteousness God has promised to us. For when we place our faith in Christ Jesus, there is no benefit in being circumcised or being uncircumcised. What is important is faith expressing itself in love. You are running the race so well. Who has held you back from following the truth? It certainly isn't God, for he is the one who called you to freedom. The false teaching is like a little yeast that spreads through the whole batch of dough. I am trusting the Lord to keep you from believing the false teachings. God will judge that person, whoever he is, who has been confusing you. For you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters. For don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. For the whole law can be summed up in this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. But if you are always biting and devouring one another, watch out. Beware of destroying one another.
Thanks, Steve. Now, that let me just say, the word circumcision here, you can take and you can substitute that and you can say something you are doing or being good or obeying the rules. He's talking about a particular situation that was going on in the church of Galatia, that they were being told that they had to be circumcised. Not only did they have to come to Christ, but they had to be circumcised for it to really count. And there are all kinds of things that we think you come to Christ and then add to it. You need to come to Christ and then do this, this, and this, and add things to it. When we start to add things to it, it takes us away from what Christ taught and what Christ was doing. So I wanted to talk today about our freedoms in terms of our faith, our freedoms in terms of our faith. When we see this from Franklin Delano Roosevelt Memorial in Washington, D.C., it was from his speech, The Four Freedoms, a very famous one, where he claimed these four freedoms are what we all will have in our country, all right? That way, these are foundational. These are our pillars. The freedom of speech, the freedom of worship, freedom from want, freedom from fear. And I think most of those have been achieved, mostly achieved for most Americans, except for the freedom from want. Because what seems to be the case from what I see is that most of us as Americans want more, no matter how much we have. Everyone I've ever known always wants to spend 10 to 15% more than they make, right? The person who makes $32,000, it's not enough, but the person who makes $90,000, it's not quite enough, and the person who makes $160,000, it's not quite enough, and the person who makes $210,000, it's not quite enough. And we get these things in our news media that tell us that most Americans are living paycheck to paycheck, regardless of the size of the paycheck. So that freedom from want is not necessarily something that I think that we've achieved. But if you look and you go around the world, freedom and America are practically synonymous in the rest of the world. America is known as what? Land of the
free.
The land of the free. The land of the free. Yet, America is still in bondage. What? Bondage. We are a country that we are in slavery. And what do I mean here? Slavery like addiction. Okay, slavery to something else that controls us. We have sex addicts, drug addicts, gambling addicts, alcohol addicts, pornography addicts. The newest to the scene, addicts to technology, the screens. We're addicted to materialism. Our next purchase is our next fix. That'll make us feel good for a little while. We're addicted to people-pleasing, not people-loving. That's different. People-pleasing. We're a nation full of poison addicts. We're addicted to poison. What? Scott, we would never take poison. Do you realize that when Scripture talks about sin, we can substitute the word poison? Because when Scripture is talking about sin, even though our society has taken and made fun of that word, and we mock it now and say, oh, you sinner, and we do all these, and there are comedies about it, and it's kind of a funny thing. That word has been kind of robbed of its meaning. It means poison. The thing that poisons our relationship with God, it poisons our future that he has for us. It poisons the blessing that he has, and it causes real damage. Jesus said in John 8:34, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. Anyone who is drinking that poison is a slave to that poison. We keep going back to it. It's our addiction to sin that feeds all the other addictions. This morning, out of Galatians, which is kind of called the Magna Carta of the Christian faith, I would like you to read it this week. Read it through and get a chance. Read it, and you'll see that in the book of Galatians, the entire theme of the book is the freedom, the liberty that we have through Christ. Now, I know that's confusing, because a lot of people will say, the reason I want nothing to do with Christianity is all about rules. It's all about what you have to do. It's all about don't drink, don't smoke, don't chew, don't go with girls who do. Christianity is all about the do, and the don't, right? And yet, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. So we want to kind of wrestle with that a little bit today. I gave you a trivia question in the newsletter, and I thought, as an object lesson, maybe I would come shirtless today, paint my face blue, and, you know, I love object lessons, but I thought that might be a little too much. But who was it who said that quote you remember the one, now I can't remember it, sorry. William Braveheart, William Wallace, right? In Braveheart, where it's, you know, our freedom, that the whole thing being about freedom. Humans want freedom. We always want freedom. All right, so how does that happen through Christ? How does that happen in Jesus? Number one, Jesus brings true fulfillment. Christ brings fulfillment. Freedom in Christ brings fulfillment. Freedom from Christ brings frustration. That again. Freedom in Christ brings fulfillment. Freedom from Christ brings frustration. So in Galatians, Paul's talking about being free in Jesus. And so we see, wait a minute, wasn't it Paul who called himself a slave to Christ, a slave to the Spirit, a slave to God? Isn't it in Philemon where it talks about, where it goes on and talks about us being a slave? How can there be these paradoxes in the Bible? But think of it. Jesus gave a bunch of paradoxes. He said the way to get is to give. He said the way to save your life is to lose it. He said you would become the greatest if you would become the least. He said he who would be master of all must first be servant of all. So it's not something new, a paradox, that Paul is talking about. But here's a biblical definition of freedom. Freedom is becoming a slave to the right master. Remember the old Bob Dylan song? You're going to have to serve somebody. Go ahead, sing it out loud. Yes, somebody. You're going to have to. Yeah. Bob Dylan's song, you're going to have to serve somebody. We're all serving something, deciding what we're going to serve. Are we going to serve the great American dream? Are we going to serve materialism? Are we going to serve our athletic career? Are we going to serve this? Are we going to serve fashion? Are we going to serve? What is it that we're serving? And we choose what is going to be our master. Freedom is becoming a slave to the right master. When you surrender all to the Lord Jesus and make him your master, that's when real freedom begins. Okay, what does that mean? Freedom. Jesus gives a life of true freedom. Know Jesus, K-N-O-W, know freedom. Know Jesus, N-O, then no freedom. We're always running. Now I understand we're always running on that wheel, the rat race. We're always doing what society requires. We got to go here, we got to do this, we got to do that, we got to build this. I get it. We're still doing that as Christians. But I'm not sure we should be. I'm not sure we should be. Remember in Matthew 6:33, when it says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things you worry about will be worked out, will be added to you. Then, Scott, why the heck do you continue to worry about them? I don't know. I think it's a lifelong journey that we continue to learn and grow a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more, till we become that person who's older who says, I don't really get razzled. I really don't get frazzled all that much. I've learned in life that God is God, and it's all going to come together. I envy that. There are times I sit and I look at that and I say, I want that, because the hard things of life hit, and I don't understand. I don't feel the freedom. I feel the frustration. I feel like I need to solve it. See, Paul was addressing a major problem in Galatia. And there were people in the church who were saying that not only did you have to know Jesus, but then you have to do this, 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 and this. And that's called legalism. That's called legalism. And some of us here today have come out of abusive legalism in past churches where you worked hard to try to measure up. That there was this group that set the standard. And they said that Christians act like this. Christians do this. Christians think like this. Christians vote like this. Christians look and dress like this. And they had all of these lists of additional laws to add to you to say, Jesus plus this is what makes you a Christian. That was the same thing Paul was saying was happening in Galatia. They were saying, Jesus plus circumcision makes you saved. So legalism is a highway paved with hypocrisy that leads to a dead end of failure. It's only a matter of time if you're in a legalistic system that you will not measure up. It's only a matter of time before you're kicked out of that feeling like I'm not enough. What are today's legalists? Today's legalists will at in church say, well, you have to know Christ and you have to pray and ask the Lord to forgive you and that he's going to be Lord of your life and take up residence in your heart and you're going to follow him and that saves you. And then you also have to be baptized. But if you're not baptized, you're not saved. Oh, so it's Jesus and baptism. Yes. And when you get baptized, you become a member. So it's Jesus' baptism membership then. And members give 10% at least, plus their gifts and offerings above that. Oh, so it's Jesus' baptism membership tithe. Yes, and it's also members who are good members here. They attend regularly. They're here, 75%. Let's pass the little books down the edge, down the rows, and everybody sign in so we can take attendance this week. You see, there's still legalism going on. Legalists believe, like this is saying up here on the screen, as you read it, that it's what you do that earns, that's what earns the merit, the favor of God. But Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 says, no, it's by grace you've been saved through faith. It's grace. What is grace? Grace is that, I've done the illustration here before, I can't do it anymore because people will kill me and running over me. But the first time I did it, I took out a $20 bill and I held it out and I said, this is for anyone who wants it. And everybody stood there, sat there. What do you want? Make your point. I said, this is $20 for anyone who wants it. Nobody moved. Finally, somebody got up, grabbed the $20, turned around, came to here, and then threw it back to me and said, okay, make your point. Picked it up, I gave it back to him. He said, no, that's yours. There were other people sitting right around who got mad. You're just going to give it to them? I believe that's what I said. That was what I proclaimed. And I forget who it was. There was somebody who was sitting in this seat right here. They could have just gone, huh? And they said, no. You see, grace is that gift that's unwarranted. There's nothing you can do to earn it. There's nothing you can do. It's just God saying, here is my son. Because I love you so much, I am washing away that poison, that sin. I am washing it away, and I am inviting you to follow after Jesus as Lord and live a life that's better the way I designed you to live. That's the life I want you to live. And he holds it out and says, here's for you. And many of us go, it can't be that easy. But it is, and Paul is saying, when people add to it, you're getting separated from what Christ said. See, he said if you try to be like, I'm going to keep one law, then you have to keep all laws. You have to do the whole thing then. It's kind of like if the police pull you over for running a red light. Whether you did it deliberately or not, you run the red light, you go through it, and the officer comes up, and he says, you ran right through that red light. You say, yes, I did. But I want you to know, I stopped at the last three stop signs. I pay my taxes. I'm a good law-abiding citizen. I did this. He said, I don't care. You just, the fact that you're holding that all of those laws means you have to hold this law too, right? So the difference between the life of liberty and the life of legalism, if we look at this screen here, grace, power of faith, trusting, faith working through love, power of the Spirit. If we look at legalism, what's the comparison? It's the power of the flesh. It's trying. You got to try harder. You got to do more, do more, do more, be better, be better, be better. It's flesh working through the law. As we get to the end of Galatians there, in that passage we read, it said people are biting and devouring each other. Do you know that happens in legalism? You know why it happens in legalism? Because I'm better at it than you are. That's what we all believe. So when we say, we do this, this, and this, look at how good we are. You don't do that. You are scum. And we bite and devour. It's like we go like this and say, am I closer to Jupiter now or now? It's ridiculous when we try to put our works up to say, look at how good I am in comparison to a righteous and holy God who is so great. It's that power of flesh. We do it all on our own. It's the last part that I want you to know today, is that this freedom in Christ has for you limits. What do I mean by that? For you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters. But don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. For the whole law can be summed up in this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. So you say, freedom means no limits. That's not correct. That's not correct. Anybody who has teenagers or has had teenagers will tell you at some point that they'll talk about you not trusting them enough, like their friends' parents trust them, and that you don't give them enough freedom. I would love to take with those kids, and I would say if you got kids coming into their teenage years, get some fish. Get some goldfish. You know, they're a buck each. Put them on the counter. Get them to fall in love with those goldfish. And when they have that conversation about, you're putting limits on us, you don't love us, I do love you, and that's why I put limits on you, so that you can thrive with our goldfish. We're going to give them a bigger tank when they need bigger tank. We're going to keep giving them. But because I love them, I don't just give them total freedom. No, that's not the way it goes, Mom. I just can't believe you as parents. You don't love me, and you should give me all my freedom. And go over to those goldfish, grab them, go like this, and pour them on the kitchen floor. And watch your kids scramble. They're trying to save their fish. What? I thought you wanted them to be free. They're free. Go. Go out. Get jobs. Buy the clothes that you want. Do everything you want. Are they free? Yes, they're free. But it's not a for you freedom. It's not a loving freedom. It's not a freedom at all that we think we want. See, freedom in Christ means not having to worry, am I good enough? Am I doing enough? Am I popular enough? Do I meet the status quo? Here we work hard to keep up with the Joneses because there's a Jones family. They're not here this morning. That joke would have been so much better. But our society trying to meet the status quo to keep up with the Joneses, do whatever you have to do. Freedom in Christ says, that is not my measure. My measure is Christ. My measure is his mission. Freedom in Christ is that you are enough because Jesus is enough. My life is so much better when I follow Christ. Not easier, but so much better in terms of the peace, the less frustration, and that knowing God's got this. Whoever gets elected, God's got this. What happens in the economy? God's got this. What happens in Ukraine? God's got this. Christians all over the place are fearful and freaking out. I don't get it. I'm like, you guys have read the book, right? It don't get better, but we're promised that God is with us and takes care of us, whatever may come. And when I start focusing on all those other things, it's pulling me away from living the life that Christ called me to live. It's calling me away from that better life. So freedom in Christ, it's a comforting hope based totally on what Jesus did, not on what you do. It's fulfillment, not frustration. It's a confident faith. You cannot blow it. Romans 8, 38 and 39. Neither height nor depth nor anything in all creation will be able to separate you from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Once you follow Christ, once you say, Jesus, be Lord of my life, you can blow it. You can make the big errors. You can take all your daddy's money, go out and blow it all, and eat with the pigs and come back begging for forgiveness. And he's going to come running to meet you and say, kill the fatted calf. That is our God's forgiveness and his just loyal love for us. It doesn't change. And it's a compassionate love with clear for you direction setting. Goals, life. I am so thankful for the tank that my God has given me. I don't sit in my tank over at Five Village Lane and go, I wish I had a bigger tank. I hate this tank. I don't want a tank at all. I'm pretty thankful for my tank. It's where I am. I love where God has put me. And I think each time that we face today, when we wake up, we are free in Christ to pray, Lord, today is yours. What do you want to do with it? It's yours. Bring people across my path. Give me opportunities to show grace. Lord, help me to have peace. And Lord, it belongs to you. And that's freedom in Christ. Let's stand together, pray, and go out and dance in the rain. Father, I thank you so much for setting us free. I thank you so much that you have given us grace. Lord, it blows my mind because in our every part of the world, every part of our existence, what we get is based on what we do, our performance. But then, Lord, your gift of grace is based on what you did, on your love for us. Father, might that compel us, might it compel us to, in our freedom, that we would love others as you have loved us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a great week, guys.